Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Craven.
You've had a busy few days at the movies.
Well, I guess that's your... Well, depends on your definition of busy day. I don't think most people would consider that, at least at the bare minimum, overworking oneself.
So, as I recall, Dark Phoenix was number one over the weekend, yes, or did that change from when I saw it?
No. And then Dark Phoenix had the worst opening for any X-Men movie, including the original released 19 years ago.
Oh, I knew that, but I thought it opened above Secret Life of Pets.
No, Secret Life of Pets 2 did roughly half the business the original did. Mm-hmm. It's I think the original did 101, 102 million its opening weekend. And this one, I think they were calling for 53 or 54 million the last time I read it. Dark Phoenix did 33 million for the weekend. The original X-Men movie, the one that was released in 2000, did, I believe, $54 million. And again, that's not adjusted for inflation. Mm-hmm. That's 20 years ago, which means that if the attendance numbers for that would have been significantly higher, you can't always look at the dollar amount and get a real, depiction of what it is. Like if Jurassic Park, had it have been released today, would have been up near $800-900 million domestically. Mm-hmm. When you look at that number and it was released in that time period, say for example, Return of the Jedi made $307 million. That's still a respectable number, but it's that's more on the equivalent of what Avengers Endgame did if you look at it in 1983 dollars.
Mm-hmm. So, before we delve deep into the land of the X-Men, Secret Life of Pets 2. First of all, why? Oh, I guess because the other one made enough money that why not make
another? First one did worldwide, domestically, I want to say it did somewhere around maybe $800 million. It did really well. I can't tell you a whole lot about the movie. Again, I'm not the demographic, but I remember seeing it, didn't find it
horrible.
Offensive or horrible.
Okay, for the poster, didn't find it horrible.
That's pretty. If we ever have to change the podcast name for copyright reasons, we really should call it. It wasn't horrible.
Yeah, it was okay to watch. Yeah, I remember. That's exactly what was my response. It's that's fine. I don't remember anything quotable. I saw no reason at all to see it again. But I didn't feel covered with filth when I walked out of the theater either. I totally wasted my time. It was fine.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. It was a very disposable piece of entertainment. And that's not insulting anybody that was involved with it. It's just, I saw it. I didn't feel the need to revisit it.
It wasn't Secret Life of Citizen Kane.
Yeah. I mean,
with Kevin Hart.
Those 90s era Disney musicals, the ones that they're remaking, turning into live action movies right now. Those did stick with me. The original Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast. That's an animated film, or even the Pixar entries.
Aladdin's
Toy Story.
A ton of dough.
But yeah, it's actually passed up the originals. Now, again, $19.92 dollars.
But still, other than our podcast, I've gotten no feedback from anybody about, we had to see Aladdin. It's nobody's. Where is it making this money?
I don't think it's kind of a lowest common denominator, because most people, I think they went into it with the idea, they're just I'm not going to like this thing. And the thing is, it's not a bad movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as good as the original, but enough people are going to see it that it's translating. Listen, Alice in Wonderland made over $1 billion, and I think that's how it got there. It was in 3D. People are this isn't just absolute dreck. It's Tim Burton. Look, everyone's mopey.
And Johnny Depp is in a hat.
Yeah, which, again, that's saying I got cheese on my burger. Right, you can get that pretty much anywhere, any way that they serve that.
What was that horrible movie? Monocle, Moniker, what?
The
Malachi? No. The one with Johnny Depp.
Yeah,
the,
I think, is it
Malachi? Malachi? I don't know.
Maybe it's Malachi or Mordecai.
Mordecai.
I knew you were very close.
It's horrible.
Yeah, that anyway. One was. That did not make $1 billion.
No. And I did resent watching it, but I did not go to the theater and spend money on it. Okay, so the story of Secret Life of Pets 2 is?
There's a lot of intersecting stories. Like for the better part of the movie, like they're acting independently mm-hmm. of one another. Like one of them is trying to free a tiger from a circus.
Do they have the tiger by the tail?
At one point, yeah. I think they did.
All right.
Quite literally. One of them is going to like a family farm for some kind of a reunion. Not a reunion. They're visiting family out there. And the city dogs get to meet this country dog who is voiced by Harrison Ford.
Oh.
Which I'll tell you, like the.
Did he have an earring?
The things that he's a dog. I mean, I guess dogs can have earrings.
I guess.
This dog did not have earrings, which is not to say it couldn't. It just didn't in this particular time. The best parts of the movie, like Harrison Ford of which, and I mean, he is in full on Harrison Ford.
Now, was it Harrison Ford or was it Mark Hamill as Harrison Ford?
No. If they needed some redubs, they could just get him to stand in for him. Like if you have not heard it, like YouTube, Mark Hamill impersonating Harrison Ford or something to that effect. Mark Hamill, in addition to being like a remarkable human being, a fantastic Joker and Luke Skywalker, does a dead on impression of Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm. So he's country dog.
He's this, like he's seen it all. Like
I'm guessing he's a mutt.
He feels like, he looks like a German shepherd. In it, or some kind of like.
Oh, so he's a working class dog.
Yeah, kind of. His name's Rooster. But like
look me when I'm talking to you, son.
Just everything that he's just done with your nonsense. Why? Well, get up, son. Like one point, like he's got the dog that is now being voiced by Patton Oswalt. The name Louis C.K. Played him in the original. They fired him from the sequel, and Patton Oswalt. He had some accusations. Made against him and a lot of companies, including like FX, like they did not renew his show. He was fired from.
I guess I missed that whole thing.
Well, it happened when a lot of the other ones were. So it didn't get buried, but I don't think it got necessarily the attention, say, like Kevin Spacey did.
Yeah, and I was going to say, by the way, since that weird video, what's up with Kevin Spacey?
He has not come back as any of his other characters in strangely like self-published YouTube videos.
Weird. All right. So a pretty good switch out, though, Louis C.K. and Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt was a – like honestly, like if I hadn't have remembered distinctly that Louis C.K., I probably would not have even like realized the change. Like it was just – it really is kind of seamless. And – I like Patton Oswalt.
And
like,
we all know none of us watched the first movie more than once. So
I really don't think so.
No. I don't even remember my kids saying, oh, it's on Netflix.
Harrison Ford, well worth your time in this movie. Like I said, he's almost like Clint Eastwood. You need to get that stupid thing off you. You look ridiculous.
I would watch a whole movie of Clint Eastwood as a dog, Harrison Ford as a dog.
Just get a whole bunch of really old men together. Bring John Wayne back from the dead.
As a dog. And you could have an afternoon
and
of it.
And they're just sitting there talking about how they're done with that.
They'd have to play poker, and it would be a dog day afternoon.
If that isn't the title.
It should be.
then they're wrong. Dana Carvey also has a very, it's almost a cameo. It's slightly more than a cameo.
Is he President Bush?
No, he's another old dog that's trying to, if they do a spinoff of this just called Old Dogs or something like that, like the best parts of it you get in very just like minute samples, like sous-sens of them. And you're just sitting there going, why didn't you get them to do more? Kevin Hart plays a rabbit in this one. And he is actually, Kevin Hart is always entertaining. Sometimes it's to a large degree, sometimes it's to a lesser degree. He falls somewhere in the middle on this one. But Kevin Hart is the ever-dependable working comedian that he is.
So, and his story is what? He's the bunny this, and...
Okay, the little girl that has him plays superheroes. with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't realize necessarily that he isn't a real superhero.
Oh.
And a dog that is voiced by...
So he is literally a dumb bunny?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Tiffany Haddish is mm-hmm. voicing a dog, and this dog saw, like, this tiger trapped in the circus. Like, mm-hmm. Being abused by his owners, like... staying in cages, like stuff like just being mistreated in general. And she needs to find this super rabbit that she has heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go on this adventure to free the tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically his story. Like very, very, very compacted.
Which is commendable. But when you look ahead, let's say you're a house rabbit and a dog and you free the tiger. What happens to you next?
I don't want to ruin it, but it's actually pretty amusing.
Okay.
Like what they do.
So they don't get eaten and
no. It does not take a really dark turn there
okay.
at the end. The tiger does not like massacre all the city dogs and they're just like, "Oh, oh wow, this is dark. This is like Bambi's mother dark." Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
We should have left him in jail.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody that actually is going to, you know, end up watching this
or
movie.
Or remember it.
But, like,
who's the tiger? Or does the tiger not talk?
Probably Frank Welker. Like, it does sounds, but it's not like it's, well, hold on here. Let me interject.
Okay, so then what are the rules? Only cats and dogs
can
talk?
I guess domesticated animals, maybe?
See, it's happened in other movies. All these other animals are talking, and then there's, you know, the marginalized ones.
You're talking about, like, how Pluto is a pet, but Goofy
yes.
is upright, you know, talking, driving
yes.
cars. Like, even in some of them, like, he's having difficulty at work. Like, I swear, I remember seeing one where, like, Goofy had, like, a midlife crisis or something.
Yeah.
That's the Goofy I like. Hardworking, like... midlife Goofy. Like,
I always found Goofy slightly annoying, and the female Goofy chaser, whoever she was, Clarabelle?
Is that?
Who looked like a dog but was actually a cow?
Maybe the animators just weren't as practiced at that point. They're like, what is it? Is it a dog? Is it a cow? And they're like, whatever, it's a cartoon.
I know.
Nobody's going to be watching these things
Ooh,
in 50 years. Get it out there.
Goofy! She just bothered me.
And he was probably just like, oh, get away from me.
I'm Goofy.
I'm going to get a restraining order.
We could make our own little movie there.
I think.
Okay. So the kids liked it.
I think it falls squarely into the same category that the original did. Like, it's not offensive to you. I don't need a third one. Like, if it makes enough money, there'll probably be one.
No, they're going to become a Netflix series.
It probably already is.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, Netflix seems to, Illumination and Universal seem to have, like, I don't know, some kind of a deal there. But if it's not, it probably should be.
Yeah. Yeah. And the soundtrack, I'm assuming, was appealing to the adults?
There was a rap song that I was completely unaware of. I finally reached that age where, like, popular music is completely just it's a loss on me. Like, one of the kids was like, oh yeah, that's this one, and I'm like, who is that? What do they look like? Like, I just,
it's like Mr. Skinnerd.
Like, it really just was, I don't know who that is.
You know, it's kind of freeing because followed up with, and I really don't care.
I mean, that's basically, because one of them started, like, giving me, like, his Wikipedia entry. I go, oh, no, I don't care. I don't know who it is. Like,
but the important part is, I don't want to learn.
I don't need that information. I have all the information about it that I want, which is none.
My children have an interesting mix of it. They do like some new songs, but... most of the time, with Jenna in particular, the new rap songs, apparently many of her student associates play these songs all the time. And so then she will play them for me to mock them. Not the students, the air quotes music. Because I know I sound like a horrible old lady. It's awful. It's like just one note, or it's just beyond terrible.
The repetition of three words.
Yes,
it's off key, or it's I there. I don't understand it. But again, they're not making it for me.
No, they are not. Or for anyone who can actually hear.
Well, when they get older and they realize that the better music was before they were born, then we can have a conversation.
Yes. I understand how a generation would say Elvis and the Beatles, oh, because it's a completely different beat and presentation. But they couldn't say that Elvis, those Beatles, don't they know more than one note? Okay. No, they couldn't.
They know all the notes. They yes. know lots of words.
Yes, like, they know all the notes. I might not like that song, but they know all the notes.
Even you can appreciate why someone would like Elvis and the Beatles, even if you yourself are not like completely immersed mm-hmm. within that. I think we should all be able to agree on that.
They know all the notes. Okay, so Secret Lack of Pets, if you have kids, sure.
Yeah, I took mine to see it. They enjoyed it. Like, you won't hate that you went to see it, but you probably won't. You don't need to Redbox it after, you know, after 3 months or whatever.
Secret Life of Pets 2, you won't hate it.
probably at the bottom of the poster. That's not the one they put on the top.
You are listening to Parental Guidance Suggested, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. This is Jane Ellen talking with Adam Craven's Movie Review. So, what we need to get to is this X-Men debacle. Now, I know you can go for hours on any question I will put to you during this.
I want people
restraint.
To, like, there could be, a separate podcast where you do nothing but ask me questions about the X-Men. And I'm like, we could do a 200-part series.
Oh, that would be fun.
On just a single decade of the, like, the X.
We really need to commit to more podcasts.
This is an auditory thing, so you can't see it, but I want you to look at my keychain for my van.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Okay, it's an X, Jane.
Oh, okay.
That is for the X. It's the letter X. Like, and around it.
It looked like the test for depth perception at the optometrist, and I just saw the parts that weren't the X.
Like, on that, and, like, if you can see it even small, it says Xavier School for Gifted Youngsters, which is what the name of
that
the
much
school is.
I know.
I'm just putting it out there. Like, so to say that I am reasonably well-versed in the X-Men is probably to underplay it.
So, correct me if I'm wrong in any part of this telling.
Gladly.
So, you have Captain Picard in a wheelchair, and Gandalf, and and that incredibly charming Mr. Barnum, and they don't exactly solve crime, but they try to bring unity in the world. And Catwoman is there at some times, and her hair looks different. And then you have someone is rising, and it is Jean Grey, and so this is a pre-Captain Picard Gandalf story?
Okay, finally you got to this. The series that you were describing is actually the trilogy that ended in 2006. Patrick Stewart.
Ended?
Yes.
Okay.
Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen are no longer playing those roles.
I see.
They briefly.
Says you.
They were briefly interjected into X-Men Days of Future Past.
Wolverine?
And Patrick Stewart appeared in Logan.
Logan, yeah.
As
Logan, by the way, an exceptional film.
Which, honestly,
is not like an X-Men movie.
Well, Logan is. Well,
yes, but it's not.
It's not as
like
X-Men-y as.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's more Clint Eastwood directed Logan.
It really feels. Yeah. And again, as somebody that has followed these films since their inception, like I watched the Saturday morning cartoon when Fox brought it to Fox Kids when Saturday morning cartoons were a thing. I played mm-hmm. the Sega Genesis game. I've been on this train ride since the absolute first stop. Logan is the movie that they should have closed this out on.
Like Logan's Run?
No, Logan.
No. Oh,
just the name.
I see.
Hugh Jackman's
yes.
final appearance. It was pitch perfect.
It was.
Like James Mangold and Hugh Jackman. I mean, they nailed it.
And I will say this. If you go, I don't really like those kinds of movies, you might not get every reference. Just watch Logan, because Logan can stand alone as the kind of pursuit film that it is.
Yeah. I think that's right. It does not require, like, you get a little bit more out of it, and you understand some of the backstory or maybe the history to it, but Logan very much stands on its own.
Mm-hmm. It's real good. So, I am familiar with the name Jean Grey, and she is, my perception of her is she's like the Captain Marvel can do it all of all the X-Men. She's got super duper powers, and this is her younger, or this is her origin?
Well, oddly enough, this is actually the same story that they adapted for X-Men The Last Stand.
Never, well, maybe I did.
X-Men The Last Stand was the terrible X-Men movie that closed out the, like, you have X-Men 1 and 2, which are honestly landmark classics in superhero cinema. Like, anybody that loves Marvel movies, and by I mean Marvel Studios like Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, you do not get to that point without the original X-Men and Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. These are the films that proved that you can treat this material seriously. There is a mass audience that wants to see this. And the only reason, and the other reason you can also get to Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor is because Marvel did not have access to those characters, because in the mid-90s, Marvel was going bankrupt, which sounds ludicrous now. But they literally, like, just they were about to go bankrupt. They were going to close their doors. So the only assets they really have that they can do anything with, they start selling off, like, their big characters to be turned into movies. At this point, DC was really the only one that was making superhero films that anyone cared about. Sony purchased the rights to Spider-Man. 20th Century Fox got the rights to X-Men, the Fantastic Four, and any of the characters that were surrounding that. So when Marvel started seeing all these people making giant, just buckets of money with their characters, they're like, why don't we do that? And they're like, oh, we sold all our big ones. Like, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, and the X-Men were the only ones. Seeing as how a movie that he just starred in grossed $2.7 billion, Iron Man was not an A-list character in 2008. Iron Man was at best a C, maybe a B-minus list character.
Really?
Yeah. Like, within the comic, I'm just at, like, Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, and the X-Men ruled the comic books.
So do you think, movie-wise, if the Fantastic Four with the Shield in it, if that had been better, it would have changed things, and maybe the focus would not have gone toward Iron Man.
Here's the catch about that. 20th Century Fox owned Fantastic, like, these movies, Spider-Man, X-Men, like, you've got the ones that were doing big business, and 20th Century Fox just kept milking that cow. Fantastic Four is one of the reasons why 20th Century Fox could be sold to Disney, because the movie division just wasn't turning it out. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's not because these properties aren't, like, able to, like, 20th Century Fox just kept doing terrible, terrible things with it, and basically running it for every good or one or two just great X-Men movies. They would do something stupid, like X-Men Origins Wolverine, which is an awful movie.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that will tell you, any review that you will read that says Dark Phoenix is the worst entry in the series is lying to you. X-Men Origins Wolverine and, honestly, X-Men The Last Stand are just, they're awful. Like, the first...
And yet I remember more of Wolverine, probably because it was mostly just about Wolverine. And so I remember more of the story.
Well, here's the other catch. As much as these movies are called X-Men, most of them have had the X-Men, like, moniker on them.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's Wolverine and his buddies.
Like, yes, Wolverine and friends.
Like, that's basically what almost all of the X-Men movies, and at least the ones that are the most successful. Whenever you brought in the younger cast, when they did the prequel with James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender playing Professor Xavier and Magneto, the first one does okay business. Whenever they do Days of Future Past and time travel Wolverine back in there, the movie it opens huge, like, ends up doing the most money of any X-Men movie ever. I think it was like 750, like seven. It was right around that number. It was huge.
And dare I say, it's a case much like the Wolverine character is interesting, but it's also Hugh Jackman and his charisma, much like RDJ's charisma with Iron Man.
To put it in layman's terms, essentially, Hugh Jackman was the Robert Downey Jr. of the Fox's X-Men franchise. Mm-hmm. The ones, if you will look at them, the ones that he is in do remarkably well. They set box office records. The ones that do not feature him, X-Men Apocalypse has him in a cameo. X-Men First Class also has him in an even smaller cameo. Those are the two lower grossing. X-Men Days of Future Past, which is the second film in that trilogy, mm-hmm. did gangbusters. This film features him in no way whatsoever. Like, I don't even think there's a passing reference to Wolverine.
So, what's the story of this one?
Jean Grey, in both of these cases, had come to Xavier's school at a very young age. Jean had experienced, like, certain bits of trauma in her life, and she is like a telepath and a psychic, basically on the level or around the same level as Professor Xavier.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Miss Cleo.
No, but that, I mean, that would be, it'd be an interesting spin-off. If Hulu's looking for stuff, I'd watch that one. I'm Miss Cleo now. I'm one of the X-Men.
Okay. So she comes to school.
And basically Xavier realizes how powerful this mutant is. Mm-hmm. But she has aspects of her mind that are unstable, and she's very young. And basically it's like, if you gave a 3-year-old a broadsword, like, how long would how long would you let that 3-year-old hold that broadsword before you either tried to take it away or start putting up, you know, something around them so that they can't hurt other people? Basically, mm-hmm. Professor Xavier goes in there and starts building scaffolding or walls so that Jean's trauma is not coming to this, or she isn't, you know, going through unrequited bits of rage or whatever. And he's around her most of her entire life. So even if maybe those boundaries start to slip, like, he's there that he can kind of take care of it.
Much like what happened to Sam when he had spent some time with the devil in a cage in hell. They had to protect his mind. I understand what you're saying.
But
supernatural.
The Phoenix Force comes to Jean. The Phoenix Force is, think of it, it's like an Infinity Stone. It's okay. Very, it's very powerful. Very powerful. And
is it named Fox's Phoenix Force?
No, it is in no relation
okay.
to that. But it senses Jean's power, and the X-Men are assisting a space shuttle, essentially.
But what is it? Is it like a floaty thing? Is it a hovering cloud? It's like where the Phoenix Force...
It's a hovery cloud.
Hovery cloud.
In this one. The Phoenix Force takes...
Is it sentient?
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
All right.
Like, Infinity Stone really is the best way to...
Okay.
It's the best and simplest way to explain it away without going into another 6-part podcast. Like,
okay.
I'll give you the answer
we'll
you're asking
that.
For. But I'm just saying, it's Infinity Stone Cloud. Like,
so
for the intensive purposes of
realizes
this podcast.
She's there and seeks her out.
And it kind of inhabits her, for lack of a better term.
Are you talking demon possession?
Kind of, sort of.
Okay.
Yeah. And... Jean, it's also kind of giving her a power boost.
Okay.
On top of that, like, and in this particular case, Professor Xavier is no longer able to keep up those walls or that scaffolding.
So she's more powerful than him now.
Yes, she is probably the most powerful mutant on the planet
mm-hmm.
now. Even with the help of Cerebro, which is something that he and Magneto built that enhances the professor's power, even with that, like, think of it, it's like his mech suit. Even with that, she is still more
his
powerful.
Mech suit?
It's a mech, like the, it's like a robot suit that
oh,
he
like
would
the
put.
Thing on Alien.
Yeah, like that. Even with that, he can't help her. And
it's completely different from his meh suit.
And one of the things that he had been kind of shielding from her. Jean, at a very young age, accidentally, like, kind of lashes out, and when she does it, it ends up killing her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And her father essentially doesn't want anything to do with her anymore. So he just, Xavier has realized what's happened. He's come there, and he's there to tell him, you know, I want to help your daughter. I can help your daughter. Like, I have a school that does this, but it takes a really bad turn, and he's essentially going, I don't want her. I can't help her. She's a destructive force. Get her out of here. Like, mm-hmm. he doesn't want anything to do with his daughter. He's grief-stricken about the murder of his wife. And like basically he's just like, you need to take her. You need to do anything. She's beyond help.
Mm-hmm.
So the professor does not hit the adolescent with this because, you know, having a powerful psychic, having kind of that traumatic event, he shields it. But the point is, like, he doesn't breach the subject later. And whenever the Phoenix Force finally kind of doesn't take over, they're almost acting in a symbiotic relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Jean is now having to deal with that, but as an adult.
And so what age is she in this, 20-something?
They're real kind of vague about everybody's age. Like,
and who is she? Who's playing her?
Sansa Stark. The actress that plays Sansa Stark is the does a very.
Didn't she just marry a Jonas brother?
That is something I don't know about. But if that is true,
wait
then
a minute.
Yes.
One of the girls, women from Game of Thrones, married somebody.
That seems likely that's the one. They see, because I think they're roughly the same age, maybe.
That's what I'm thinking. See, now I have to find out.
I really never thought us talking about X-Men would lead to the Jonas Brothers. That's,
I know you wouldn't, and yet
that's startling.
Here it is. Maybe I should have just Googled this better. Because I really...
Did you put Sansa Stark marries Jonas? Is that what
I
you Googled?
Let's see. Kevin has been married to Danielle since 2009. Joe married Sophie Turner. In 2019.
Okay.
And Nick married Chopra in 2018.
All right.
So it's her.
There it is, yeah.
So she's Mrs. Jonas' brother.
I don't think that's her official Screen Actors Guild credit, but sure. Sure, yeah.
All right, Mrs. Jonas.
Maybe Brothers. Legally that's what she's called.
Yeah. Now, that being said, does that mean there's a Jonas Brothers song on the soundtrack, but you wouldn't know?
There did not appear to be one over the ending credits.
Okay. So, appear to be.
Yeah. Well, I didn't... at this point, like, even the person I was watching it with, they're like, is there an after credit sequence? And I go, 20th Century Fox doesn't exist. I go, so even if there is, it's going to lead to... If there is, it's going to lead to a movie that'll never be made. Like... For all intents and purposes, this version of the X-Men is gone. Like,
really?
In 2 or 3 years, you'll probably see like Kevin Feige like figure out a way to kind of turn them in to the Marvel Cinematic mm-hmm. Universe, the one that Captain America, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy, that it exists there. But as they are right now, they've never intersected because for all intents and purposes, they're part of two separate universes.
So is the movie awful?
No, it really isn't. I think Fox looked at X-Men Apocalypse, which was pretty underwhelming, especially to be the film that followed Days of Future Past. And they decided what they looked at, they took out of it and said, all of this spectacle and epicness, that's what people didn't like about that movie.
Ooh, no, we liked that.
It's a very kind of small, almost character-driven film that somehow finds itself being placed in the middle of summer. Like, and especially coming off a movie that landed its ending so well, like Endgame, this film just it feels small.
It sounds like it would have been a Maggie Gyllenhaal indie film released in February.
Just, I think 20th Century Fox really didn't have any pull at the point. Like, this is Disney's movie. And initially it was supposed to come out in November. It wasn't ready at that point, so they pushed it to February. And reputedly, James Cameron did not want Alita Battle Angel to premiere in the summer because he felt the competition was too strong against mm-hmm. it. So he told Fox, and like this guy has done a couple of movies for Fox that had done some money. He said, I want the February date you're giving to X-Men mm-hmm. for Battle Angel Alita. X-Men now becomes a summer movie that was going to premiere in the much less crowded, mm-hmm. probably much more appropriate for a quieter film like this, in like February, now becomes a June release that is going up, you know, against Endgame, John Wick, and it's just, it really is not the worst of the X-Men movies, but it's not the film that I would have picked to sit in the middle of the summer. Days of Future Past? Yes. The original X-Men, yes. X-Men mm-hmm. 2, by all means.
So this was made thinking to be a franchise, and then there was the sale, and then it was, well, this is it.
More or less. Like, it even feels like it was intended to be two movies. Like, it ends on an appropriate enough note that it could be the bookend to the series. But there's also bits of it that I'm sitting there going, you seem to be alluding to something else that's going to happen that isn't going to happen now.
How frustrating for those cast in it.
For a film series that basically ushered in this billion-dollar, like, franchise of superhero films. Like, and again, like, I really don't think people, especially if you weren't clued into that, X-Men and Spider-Man are really the reason we have the Marvel Cinematic Universe that we do now. For a film series that's responsible for that, and that X-Men 1 and 2 are just genuine classics, I will put up against the best of what Marvel Studios has done. X-Men 2 is just an exceptional piece of filmmaking. To see a series that was responsible, like, for that, just, it feels like a terrible, like, it's a funeral that nobody showed up to. And like honestly, it bothers me that this is the way that we end it. It's not a terrible, and it's definitely not the worst of this series, but it's definitely not the resounding success or even, like, kind of the quiet intensity that Logan had, which is the reason why I say, I feel like if you were going to have a film that was going to operate as the period for the 20th century Fox X-Men's sentence, that was really the film that should have done it.
So do you think it was previews or word of mouth, or people knew about the sale and said, we're just not going to bother going? Because if the film itself wasn't so bad, I would have expected a bigger opening and then just having it drop off.
I think Disney really didn't have, like, any skin in the game. Mm. Like, they knew they were really pretty much done with this cast. Because reportedly, Feige had also said, yeah, we will recast. Like, we're not using – Deadpool is the only X-Men character that gets to stay like they are. Everyone else, whenever we roll them into the Marvel universe
– no pun intended –
will be done as – whomever we cast there. Ryan Reynolds gets to stay as Deadpool. He can go out and do his own thing, but nothing else from 20th Century Fox's X-Men will stick around. So, like, they didn't really care.
Where will go the Wolverine jokes?
He's still... Basically, at this point, the 20th Century Fox X-Men universe is Ryan Reynolds to do with as he pleases. He can still reference Hugh Jackman in that, because he will probably not exist in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He'll be the lone 20th Century Fox X-Men character. And he's the only one that's going to survive the buyout as well. But I think just nobody – that it wasn't going – that there was no purpose to really put a lot of marketing muscle behind it, because this was it. Mm-hmm. Disney did not make this one. So, like, they really didn't care about it. And I think – a lot of people still had a really bad taste in their mouths from X-Men Apocalypse. So, like, it was this film had nothing but uphill to go for. And maybe if it would have been the best film in the franchise, maybe word of mouth would have carried it. But as it is, it's one of the lesser. It's not the worst, but it's somewhere in the middle. And it could not overcome all of those things that were standing in front of it.
I get it. So, X-Men Dark Phoenix is...
Well, it's actually just Dark Phoenix. They took it's not called X-Men Dark Phoenix.
I implied a comma there.
I'm just saying. Dark Phoenix. It's like The Dark Knight is not Batman The Dark Knight. It's just The Dark Knight.
I love your specificity. Anyway, this is... You think if you are into the X-Men, you should enjoy this, but it is going to be a different feeling film from the other X-Men.
If you went into Days of Future Past and said, this is how you do an X-Men movie, if you saw X-Men 2 and you were like, this is perfect, this film is a departure from that. I don't think it's a terrible film, but I also don't think that it's the soaring heights that you hit with X-Men First Class, Days of Future Past, or X2 either.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I mean, just temper your expectations properly and understand that, like, it just, nobody was fighting for this movie, like, whenever it came into theaters, and it just, I think it really just kind of got bum-rushed by the sale, its release date. Mm-hmm. I mean, just everything.
Don't you ever wonder where the phrase bum rush came from?
I'm guessing a bum was running one day.
Just throwing that out there. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Coming up, we've got what coming up?
Movies. The Bill Murray zombie movie, what is it, Dead Don't Die, is supposed to release this Friday.
And
if it is anywhere near me, I will watch that film. there's a good deal of stuff that's coming up. That one right there is the one that catches my eye the most, though.
Oh, I had written them down, but I've clearly already forgotten. When does Terminator come out? August?
Terminator is much, like, I want to say it's almost fall.
Oh.
It might be August, but it might be, like, September or October as well. Like, I know that it's way out there.
Okay. Because I'm psyched about that.
Listen, if James Cameron's back on Terminator and he says this is legit Terminator, he's not directing, but he's producing, and he had a lot of input on the story.
Mm-hmm.
Last time we had a good Terminator movie, it involved this guy pretty heavily.
Yeah. So there you have it. Thank you so much for listening to Parental Guidance Suggested. More movies fresh from us next week. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.